message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
With the person. He is a person. He's not a thing. He's not a force. He's not an it. He's a person. We're dealing with his presence and his power. And the word from Genesis to Revelation is filled with the activity of the Holy Ghost. And so that's why it's so important for us to understand more about the Holy Ghost in our lives, because he is such an essential part to the full measure of what Christ has done for us and in us. And if we neglect to truly understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our present day and in our personal lives, we cease to truly fulfill the purpose of God for our lives. And so that's why it's so important. Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, he didn't say, "You shall hear the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He didn't say, "The truth shall make you free." He says, "And ye shall know." That word know, genosko, which literally means intimate revelation. Intimate revelation. That means that's something you know that you know that you know you know, and you can never not know it or unknow it again. That's just how deep that knowledge runs. And when you have that kind of knowledge, then the truth changes you. That's what happens in that process. So we know there are at least three things as we review this matter of the Holy Ghost that he does in our lives. One, he teaches us all things. He brings all things back to our remembrance. And thirdly, he shows us things to come. Now, there's so many other things he does, but we want to just launch from there, because I'm talking about the Holy Spirit and his presence in prophecy. Prophecy. Is prophecy important today? Absolutely. Prophecy is so very important. Many of us don't really deal much with prophecy. We're afraid of prophecy. Revelation is a book many of us dare crack open to discover its contents, because one, we don't understand the language, the symbolism, etc. But two, it has a lot of scary stuff in there. Now, here is the interesting thing. If you would really read and get some understanding, you'll know that most of that don't even concern us. We'll be long gone when all of that stuff happens. Jesus will have come back and raptured the church and taken us up before all of that stuff comes to pass. But because ignorance is bliss, and we'd rather stay ignorant than learn it and know it, then the enemy defeats us. Bible makes clear, the people of God perish for lack of knowledge. And so it's important to understand. Now listen to this. You need to know that you are able to prophesy without being a prophet. A prophetic office is different from a prophetic utterance. And a whole lot of us don't understand that the people of God have the ability and the gift to prophesy. Yes, to decree and declare a thing. That's the privilege of being a believer. In the Old Testament, prophets were basically used for instruction and guidance. They were used for other things, but primarily the Old Testament prophets were used for instruction and guidance. In the New Testament, we have the Word, the Bible. We have enlightenment and understanding about the truth of God's Word, a more sure prophecy. In other words, the written, divinely inspired Word of God. We have that. So my question to you, is the job of the prophet in the Old Testament the same as the job of the prophet in the New Testament? No, it's very different. Now that we have the Word of God, we don't need the prophet to tell us scripture, because we have a Bible now. That's the more sure word of prophecy, right there. All right, we don't need the prophet to guide us as much now, because we have the Holy Spirit. That's another part of the responsibility of the Holy Spirit for the believer in this modern day. He guides us. So what do we need the prophet for now? The New Testament prophet is very different from the Old Testament prophet, because we still need some things. And you'll find what we need in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3. Rita, would you just read that if you don't mind? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. Now, Paul is making clear how we're able to know what prophecy today is supposed to do.
1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort.
Amen. Read it one more time.
1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort.
Now listen at this, because the mode of operation for the prophet and the office of the prophet and prophetical sayings or prophetic sayings has to do with three things now. One, edification, the building up of a person. Two, exhortation, the encouragement to a person. And three, the comfort or the solace or the calming of someone. Now, these three things suggest that when prophecy goes for today, if it's true biblical prophecy, it's going to include these things. You don't need to prophesy to say the world is coming to an end. You don't need to be a prophet to prophesy doom and to talk about the evils of this world. You can turn on CNN for that. You got to realize that there is a difference between prophecy and predictions. Prophecy is supernatural in its origin and supernatural in its operation. Prophecy comes from God. It is a preview of what is going to happen. God gives an insight to someone that he wants to use, not necessarily a prophet, but a believer. And they speak what they are shown because the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. Are y'all in the house today? All right, let me hear you now. And so the difference between a prophecy and a prediction is a prediction is human in its nature or human in its origin and human in its operation. It is the gathering of facts or suspicions. It is a hunch or a hint of what they think will come. Prediction comes from two words, pre and diction, to speak. So you pre-speak what you think is going to happen. But that ain't prophecy. The weatherman proved last week in his predictions how off he could be on Sunday. However, the prediction finally came to pass. Can I get a half a witness? All right, so we want to clear up this matter. We many times in the Baptist church don't deal with the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God. So a lot of that is foreign to us in the Baptist church, and you have to be a certain sect of religion or a certain denomination to deal with these areas and issues. But listen, when you believe the whole word of God and you're taught the whole word of God, then you're really dealing with the full gospel. The truth of the whole word of God, which is what I desire our ministry to be, a ministry that deals with the full word of God, blessing us in every area of our lives, causing us to function and flow in the things that may not be traditionally Baptist. Some of us gonna miss our blessings because we're trying to keep it within the confines of tradition and Baptist stuff. All right, we need to know time out for that. Jesus is on his way back. Men are on their way to hell. Believers are suffering instead of being successful. We have got to learn how to operate in the fullness of God's word. All right, so I want to show you something. I'm going to begin, if you will, at Numbers 11, verses 24 through 29, talking about the Holy Spirit's presence in prophecy and try and work it as close as we can. Now keep me together on that time because I know I won't be able to finish, but I want to be. Numbers chapter 11 verses 24 through 29.
Numbers chapter 11 verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. Verse 25, and the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Verse 26, but there remaineth two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. and they prophesied in the camp. Verse 27. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Verse 28. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. Verse 29. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them?
Now listen at this last one again. Go back to verse 29. Listen very carefully. Go back.
And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them?
Now, first of all, Joshua sounded like a good Baptist, don't he? Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Now, he didn't see, only Moses would prophesy. His father-in-law Jethro had a talk with him one day and told him, said, man, this job is getting too great for you by yourself. You can't handle all this by yourself. He said, what you need to do is get you some men, and you need to share this responsibility, delegate this responsibility to them, etc. So he did that. And so now he said everything that the Lord wanted him to say to them. And the Lord came down in a cloud and they were anointed with the Spirit of God. But the Bible says something very interesting. It says it took of the Spirit of Moses and anointed the 70. Now listen to this. The anointing you respect is the anointing you attract. And the anointing you sow into is anointing you have a right to. Now that's deep. Listen to me well. The anointing you respect, you can't respect of the anointing of healing and not think of, talk of, do the things that's required to operate in that same anointing. In other words, it comes upon you when you respect that and want that, it attracts itself to you. Everything has a spirit connected to it. So you can't talk about you want to be rich, but then you get mad with folk who talk about money. That's silly. It's crazy. So you don't respect the anointing. Listen, if you don't respect the anointing that you want a blessing from, it'll never come upon you. And when you sow into, these men sowed into Moses' ministry. Every one of the 70 sold into his ministry. So now God took of Moses' spirit. His anointing was so strong that he could pull some of Moses' anointing and place it on 70 men, the 70 men that served under him. You see, that's why it's so important to have people that serve with you, close to you, sharing your anointing. When people don't share the pastor's anointing, they shouldn't be in position. See, that's why Baptist folk can't get many places. That's why many other ministries, non-denominational and interdenominational and all the rest of this, flourish and grow so much more, because they're not held to the same confines that folk have. When you come in the Baptist church, you inherit all this mess. Well, we've been doing this like this before you came here. Now, we ain't about to change right now. See, but when a man starts his own ministry, he put people around him that share his spirit, that he can impart his spirit into. And if they don't share his spirit, they've got no place with him. They serve at his pleasure. I'm trying to help us, hear me. So when you realize, when you've got folk around you that's full of strife and mess and this, that, and the other, you say, you got to go. That's not of my spirit. I don't handle folk like that. You're not going to handle folk like that. And if you can't deal with them like I deal with them, then that means you're the wrong one dealing. So that spirit of Moses was placed upon those 70. Eldad and Medad didn't show up to the meeting, but they were registered as Moses' 70 men. When the Spirit came down and anointed the 70, 68 were present. Eldad and Medad were in the camp, but the Spirit came on them. Why? Because they were registered. They were still a part of the team, even though they weren't present that day. They were in the camp. They start prophesying. They wonder what's going on. First of all, prophecy means to bubble up or to swell. It's like a burp. You can't help it. When it came up, it just had to come out. And he's like, "Ooh, I'm sorry. Excuse me." You can't stop it. All right. And so they started prophesying. And one of the young men heard them prophesying, knowing that only Moses up to this point could do that. And now they hear Eldad and Medad prophesying. They run back. They tell Joshua. Joshua is Moses' assistant. He's his servant. Joshua gets the news. He gets mad. He goes up to Moses. He said, my Lord. That's probably how he said it. forbid them. You know, look at Moses. He's walking in wisdom and humility. See, when you realize this is God's business, when you understand men can't steal your anointing, when you understand they may steal your message, but they can't steal your anointing, when you understand that what you got comes from the Lord, and there may be counterfeiters, but they're never duplicators, unless God gives them of your spirit to work under you. Moses said, "Envious thou for my sake? Man, I don't have a problem with these two men prophesying. They're helping me. They're doing what I need them to do. I want good folk around me being able to do what I do. Why would I get mad because somebody could do what I'm teaching them and training them to do?" That's why when you've got good, strong sons and daughters of the ministry who can carry it on and do that, that takes a lot of pressure off of you. That's how folk really know who's of your spirit. People in our ministry know who is of John Montgomery's spirit. I'm talking about the ministers. They can tell by the way they minister. Now, I got some stepchildren. They're my children, nonetheless. But I didn't birth them. You can tell by the way they minister. All right? But listen at this. Moses responds in a shocking way. For he says, and this is translated, if you have NIV version or something like that, it'll tell you. He was saying, I wish everybody could prophesy and that God's spirit would fall on all of God's people. Listen, do you know how much easier ministry would be if everybody were filled with the Holy Ghost? Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Do you know how powerful and how ministry would flow if you had that? If everybody were able, according to the word of God, to prophesy, not being a prophet or a prophetess, not having the office of a prophet or prophetess, but being able to utter those things that God gives to them, to decree those things and declare those things according to the word of God. Do you know how much more powerful ministry would be? Moses planted the seed prophetically. Go to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, Rita. I want you to read that for us. Moses planted the seed of the Holy Spirit falling upon everybody and being able to prophesy. He spoke it prophetically. He spoke it prophetically. Okay, read it.
Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Mm.
Your old men shall dream dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Your young men shall see visions.
Mm.
Verse 29. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit.
Amen. Now, Joel gets that vision. And he prophesies that in time to come, what Moses prophesied is going to come to pass. That every believer will be able to prophesy and be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, if you don't believe that, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Read verse 16, 17, and 18 for me right quick, reader. Acts chapter 2, verses 16, 17, and 18. Because Peter is dealing with something. Go ahead.
Acts chapter 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
All right, hold up. But this is that.
Uh-huh.
What is Peter talking about? But this is that. Now, here's what you need to know. I'm going to just read it right quick because we don't have time to read it all and get to it right quick. The day of Pentecost has come. Go back to the first verse and read all the way down. So the Holy Ghost has come down. Men are speaking in other languages, tongues in other languages. Verses 9, 10, and 11 reveals that there are 17 places and people who hear the gospel in their own native language, their own native tongue. All right. Verses 12 through 15, the men are dumbfounded at the fact that these are Galileans who God is using to speak these different languages. And they're acting strange. They're full of the Holy Ghost. They're bubbling. They're excited. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They've never seen the move of God like this. So they think they're drunk. Peter says, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, but they're full of the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 16, he says, but this is that Joel prophesied in the last days. Now go ahead on with that. Finish 16, 17, and 18. Just wanted to bring you up to speed.
Verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Mm.
Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Mm.
Verse 18. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19. And I will show wonders in the heaven above.
Okay, that's good. Now listen to this. Moses prophetically speaks. Joel picks up the vision. He speaks. Now Peter is telling them that what has happened at the day of Pentecost. Now I want to bring you up to speed. The Holy Ghost is here. He's now. This reality, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, all of that is present day activity now. We are in the prophesied time. It is a reality today, not hoping that's going to come. It has already come. It's been prophesied. It's been clear that it has made it, arrived at this point in time. We are now operating in the last days. Listen at this well now. And again, we are operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, so to really get a full grasp of this, you need the Holy Spirit, who is the one who will teach you that, to understand that. I can teach it to you all day long, but you'll never grasp it in your spirit until you receive the Spirit. till you are filled and or baptized in the Holy Spirit.